reminding us how so important we are to God, that he was willing to remake us and not throw the clay away. Happy Sabbath, church. I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to stand before you this morning, this afternoon. Time has run away from us, so I will dive straight into the message that I have for you today. This quarter, the leadership team here at Watford Town are taking the church through the 28 fundamental beliefs of the SDA Church, reminding our members about the importance of these beliefs regarding each of us being obedient to God and ready to go home with him when he comes. Amen, church. Today, I will be addressing one of our beliefs. And this subject is very important to me. It's very important to me and it's very important to my family, and it should also be a critical reminder to you as well. It's the subject of the Sabbath. Now, I've struggled this week with putting this sermon together. As elders in Watford Town Church, we see that there is a lot of room for improvement. So I pray that as you listen to the message, that you will allow the Spirit to speak to your heart. Matthew 24, verse 42 says, "Watch therefore, for you know not the hour when the Lord shall come." So bearing this in mind, today could be the last message that someone might hear. Therefore, it has to be a clear message. And it has to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth from the Word of God. It might not be a message today to make you smile. Elder Raleigh says, "I have a sense of humor, but there is a time and a place." But it will be a message that by God's grace will challenge you to see the Sabbath and how you currently keep the Sabbath. It will also cause you to think and reflect on your own life and react as to what you hear the Spirit say to you today. John 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." The Bible says it clearly. If you love God, you will obey him. And the reverse is also true. If you don't love God, you won't obey him. And it's important as we move forward that I emphasize this point, because we're reminded in Exodus 20, verse 5 and 6, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Again, I say that if you love God, you will obey his commandments. And if you do not love God, you will not obey his commandments. Now, we often find excuses to justify how we want to live and how we want to operate. But the Bible says this in Proverbs 14, verse 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Today, do not choose to follow your way and die, but seek to hear the voice of God speaking to you and desire to change. Hebrews 3:15. "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." I will not be sharing with you today anything that you may not already know, nor will I be sharing anything that you may not already have heard. But just like the first word of the fourth commandment states, remember. I'm just here to remind you about why the Sabbath is important and the implications to us, a people of God, if we choose not to keep God's Sabbath day holy. So take out your pens and your notepads. Write down every reference of scripture or text that you hear me mention, and in the quiet of your own time, be noble like the Bereans of Acts 17 and receive the word of God with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily for yourselves to ensure that everything that you are hearing is true. Let us pray. Father, I stand here before you. Nothing in my hands I bring, Lord, but simply to your cross I cling. I pray as I present these words that you will speak through me and hearts will be challenged and blessed. I pray, Lord, for anyone in this congregation who is not a Seventh-day Adventist, and it may be that they are hearing this for the first time. Father, have your way in their lives also. May your will be done, and may we grow in your grace this morning, this day. I pray and ask this in and through the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We are Seventh-day Adventist Christians. And when you Google the definition of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, it states that the SDA Church is distinguished by its observance of Saturday, the seventh day of the week, according to the Gregorian and the Hebrew calendar as the Sabbath. The emphasis of our denomination is on the second coming or the advent of Jesus Christ. So, first of all, we need to establish why the fourth commandment of God is still important and is still relevant to people in the 21st century in the year 2024. Many people who worship and love God, who believe that the fourth commandment was done away with when Jesus died on the cross. So when Jesus died, what actually was nailed to the cross? One of the pioneers of the Seventh-day Adventist Church was a man by the name of Uriah Smith. And in his book, What Was Nailed to the Cross, he gives a thorough exposition of the verses in Colossians 2:14-17, which is often used by many Christians outside of Adventism to say that the fourth commandment law regarding the Sabbath was done away with. In the Bible, there are two laws, the moral law and the ceremonial law. The moral law, commonly known as the Ten Commandments, is an expression of God's character, the standard of all righteousness, and an expression of the will of God. The moral law is an embodiment of two great principles, love toward our Creator and love toward our neighbor. When asked which was the greatest commandment in the law, Jesus answered, Jesus said unto them in Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The ceremonial or provisional law was added because of man's transgression of the moral law. The ceremonial law consisted of ordinances, ceremonies, and sacrifices in the sanctuary system that pointed to the future redemption through Jesus Christ. This law typified the mysteries contained in the plan of redemption in Jesus. And after Christ's death, the ceremonial law is no longer to be observed. As outlined in Colossians 2, verse 14 and 17, where we read, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. In his book, What Was Nailed to the Cross, Uriah Smith says there was a law consisting of just 10 commandments. These 10 commandments are spoken by the voice of God from the summit of Sinai. And this law and no more, God wrote with his finger upon the tables of stone. This he caused to be deposited by itself in the ark, prepared expressly for its reception. This code of 10 commandments he calls a law. God wrote, he said to Moses in Exodus 24:12, come up to me into the mountain, be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. God wrote the 10 commandments, which in these terms, law and commandments, are both applied. By these circumstances and peculiarities, they are sharply distinguished and set apart from all other injunctions and obligations. The law of God was written how? It was written with the finger of God. And what was the law of God written on? It was written on stone. You see, God's finger represents power. How in history do you see someone's power being usurped or overthrown? Historically, power was taken by another king or another country or another city or an established region, either by the king relinquishing his authority or by force or through political influence and deceit. The law of God was written on stone by the finger of God physically. You see, there is a well-known phrase that we use, and this phrase is written in stone. And this phrase points to the fact that something is permanent or fixed and cannot be changed. Nowadays, if you want to send someone a message, you will generally type the message using your computer or your digital device. Back in the day, only certain people had access to typewriters. So to write a letter, you would normally do it by hand, writing out each word and phrasing each sentence. You would compile your letter with care. One of the pens of choice back then was the ink pen. The pen had a barrel chamber which you filled up with liquid ink. The liquid ink would be transferred to the end of the pen, allowing you to write. Sometimes while writing, excess ink would come out from the pen and land on the page which you were writing. To remove this ink, you would use blotting paper, which would soak up the excess ink completely from your page. In the verses that we have just read in Colossians 2:14, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. The text says, blotting out. This must therefore be referring to the law that Moses wrote with his hand, and not the law or commandments that were written by the finger of God. These commandments alone were written upon tables of stone. Why do I say this? Because the words of the commandment law of God written by God's finger on a table of stone cannot possibly be blotted out in the way that I just explained. The law that was written by Moses' hand had to have been written with the ink in his day, and it would therefore be possible for this handwriting to be blotted out. These are the laws that were nailed to the cross. The 10 commandments of God, including the 4th commandment, were to be kept by God's people then, and it is still to be kept by God's people now. The Sabbath is so important to God that he put his name to it. Sabbath. His name is Abba, which means Father. Selected Messages, Volume 3, page 258 says, "This is God's holy day, the day that he has set apart to commemorate his creative works, a day he has sanctified and hallowed." There is so much that can be covered in regards to the subject of the Sabbath, and we really do not have enough time to cover it all today. So there are three key points in regards to keeping the Sabbath God's way, which I would like to hone in on today. The first is working and lay activities. Working on the Sabbath day is a subject which has been debated over and over again, and those debating often leave each other with different outcomes. Well, 1 Corinthians 14:33, God says this, "For God is not the author of confusion." So it is quite proper to debate and discuss, but through the working of the Spirit, a conclusion must be arrived at. I find the phrase which is often heard that says, "let's agree to disagree," unhelpful. This is not a statement that is in line with biblical teaching, and it gives license for individuals to hold fast to their own views, their own beliefs, requiring them not to listen to anyone else or even the truth. This is folly. However, though, someone might say, how comes the Bible says, in Romans 14, verse 5, "let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind"? This text, however, is not giving us the option to make our own decisions on what the Bible is saying and leave with your own opinion. God does not force anyone to obey him or to serve him or to believe on him. Once the truth has been presented, he's saying it is up to you, the individual, to take it or to leave it, to be persuaded or not to be persuaded. When we talk about working on the Sabbath day, we must use the verb paid. This being the case, the Bible is very clear on the subject of whether paid work is permissible to God on the Sabbath day. Exodus 20, verse 5 says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates." In her book, My Life Today, page 231, Ellen White says this, "According to the fourth commandment, the Sabbath was dedicated to rest and religious worship. All secular employment was to be suspended, but works of mercy and benevolence were in accordance with the purpose of the Lord. They were not to be limited by time or place. To relieve the afflicted and comfort the sorrowing is a labor of love that does honor God's holy day. The necessities of life must be attended to. The sick must be cared for, and the wants of the needy must be supplied. He will not be held guiltless who neglects to relieve suffering on the Sabbath. God's holy rest day was made for man, and acts of mercy are in perfect harmony with its intent. God does not desire his creatures to suffer an hour's pain that may be relieved upon the Sabbath or any other day. The Sabbath is not intended to be a period of useless inactivity. The law forbids secular labor on the rest day of the Lord. The toil that gains a livelihood must cease. No labor for worldly pleasure or profit is lawful upon that day. But as God ceased his labor of creating and rested upon the Sabbath and blessed it, so man is to leave the occupations of his daily life and devote those sacred hours to healthful rest, to worship, and to holy deeds. You're very quiet today, church. The work of Christ in healing the sick was in perfect accord with the law. It honored the Sabbath. Labor to relieve the suffering was pronounced by our Savior a work of mercy and no violation to the Sabbath. The needs of suffering humanity are never to be neglected on any day. By his example, the Savior has shown us that it is right to relieve suffering on the Sabbath. So we here have two concepts. The first concept is doing good, and the second concept is work or toil. What are the differences? Well, for example, we will be going to the local nursing home this afternoon to sing for the residents and staff. This is doing good, or can also be described as a labor of love. These are the examples that Jesus set for us whilst he ministered to people on earth, to work or to toil. The dictionary definition for work is this: activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result, or be engaged in physical or mental activity in order to achieve a result, do work. The dictionary definition for toil is this: work extremely hard or incessantly, or exhausting physical labor. Neither of these concepts, work or toil, based on their dictionary definition, and also based on Exodus 20 verse 10, where we are told by God that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord our God, in it thou shalt not do any work. Neither of these concepts have any place to be carried out on God's Sabbath day, work or toil. We also read in My Life Today by Ellen G. White that the law, God's law, the Ten Commandment law, forbids secular labor on the rest day of the Lord. The toil that gains a livelihood must cease. No labor for worldly pleasure or profit is lawful upon that day. Remember, the title of my sermon today is Keeping the Sabbath God's Way. Not keeping the Sabbath your way. Not keeping the Sabbath my way. Acts 5:29 says, we ought to obey God rather than men. Medical Ministry, page 204 to 215 says, let no man, because he is a physician, feel at liberty to disregard the word of the Lord. He should plan his work so as to obey God's requirements. He should not travel on the Sabbath except when there is a real suffering to be alleviated. When this is the case, it is not a desecration of the Sabbath for physicians to travel upon that day, but ordinary cases should be deferred. According to the book collection, the Crest Collection, page 43, says here, physicians should not suppose that it is right for them to make appointments or to travel on the Sabbath. Not only by precept, but also by example, they should honor the true Sabbath, which is to be immortalized as the evidence that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, placing the command concerning it in the very bosom of the Decalogue. It is to be sacredly observed. This is how you demonstrate your love to God: by obedience. true, unapologetic obedience. If you are currently employed in a job that falls outside of the criteria of doing good, let me be very clear. If you are employed in a job that requires you to work during the Sabbath hours, whether that be Friday evening or any time during the Sabbath day on Saturday, and you are getting paid for this work, then you are breaking the commandments of God. Remember, during my introduction to this sermon, I mentioned that this sermon will cause you to think and reflect on your own life, and it is for you to react as to what you hear the Holy Spirit saying to you today. I do not have the answers for your specific situation. But if you are truly impressed to make changes, seek God, and through his Holy Spirit, you will be directed according to his will. Lay activities. Lay activities was the old title given to the department, which is now known as personal ministries. Lay activities is a term that some use now to make the point that they are going home to sleep. Following on from what we were just reminded about working and understanding fully what the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy has to say about this, the idea of going to sleep on the Sabbath because you are rostered to work later on in the evening, I pause for effect, even if it is after the Sabbath, this is displeasing to God. In the book Counsels to the Church, page 270, Ellen G. White, she says, none should feel at liberty to spend sanctified time in an unprofitable manner. It is displeasing to God for Sabbath keepers to sleep during much of the Sabbath. They dishonor their Creator in doing so, and by their example say that the 6 days are too precious for them to spend in resting. They must make money, although it be by robbing themselves of needed sleep, which they make up by sleeping away holy time. They then excuse themselves by saying, the Sabbath was given for a day of rest. I will not deprive myself of rest to attend meeting, for I need rest. Such make a wrong use of the sanctified day. They should, upon that day especially, interest their families in its observance and assemble at the house of prayer with the few or with the many, as the case may be. They should devote their time and energies to spiritual exercises that the divine influence resting upon the Sabbath may attend them through the week. Of all the days in the week, none are so favorable for devotional thoughts and feelings as the Sabbath. The second key point I would like us to be reminded of in keeping the Sabbath God's way is the subject of cooking and cleaning. Exodus 16, 22 to 24 says, and it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that which you will seethe, and that which remaineth overlay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. Testimonies for the Church, volume 6, page 357, says, we should not provide for the Sabbath a more liberal supply or a greater variety of food than for other days. Instead of this, the food should be more simple and less should be eaten, in order that the mind may be clear and vigorous to comprehend spiritual things. Overeating befogs the brain. The most precious words may be heard and not appreciated. because the mind is confused by an improper diet. By overeating on the Sabbath, many have done more than they think to dishonor God. While cooking upon the Sabbath should be avoided, it is not necessary to eat cold food. In cold weather, let the food prepared the day before be heated, and let the meals, though simple, be palatable and attractive. Provide something that will be regarded as a treat, something the family do not have every day. Cleaning. Selected Messages, Book 3, page 258 says, on the subject of Sabbath dishes, we would charge all not to wash their dishes on the Sabbath if this can possibly be avoided. God is dishonored by any unnecessary work done on his holy day. It is not inconsistent but proper that the dishes should be left unwashed till the close of the Sabbath if this can be managed. The third and final key point today that I would like us to be reminded of in keeping the Sabbath God's way is conversation and behavior. First, let's look at conversation. Speaking about the second coming of Christ and extolling to his listeners how we ought to be preparing. 2 Peter 3, 11 to 14 says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him. Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 6, pages 359 to 360 says, we should keep our minds stayed upon God and commune with him. Whenever there is opportunity, we should speak to others in regard to the truth. But we should not talk about matters of business or engage in any common worldly conversation. At all times and in all places, God requires us to prove our loyalty to him by honoring the Sabbath. Does the thought of having to speak only holy conversation on the Sabbath day make the day seem as boring or burdensome? Christ and the Sabbath, page 21 and 22, says, God never intended that the Sabbath should be a burden to anyone, but rather a blessing. And he will now make it such to all who honor him in its observance. And so we shall delight ourselves in the Lord on the Lord's day. That makes the Sabbath a glorious thing. At every step of the way, when it is properly understood, the Sabbath is suggesting Christ and his work for us. At every point, it is Christ and his power. It is the creative power pledged for our redemption. It is the sign of Christ to bless, to give rest, to make holy, to sanctify. It is the sign of Christ, the delight of the soul. It is the sign of Christ, the Holy One. It is the sign of Christ whom we are to honor. As the Sabbath suggests at every point, Christ as Creator, Christ as Redeemer, Christ as Savior, and as we are to honor the Son, even as we honor the Father, therefore it is impossible that one should honor Christ when we knowingly dishonor Christ's day. For that reason, no people can exalt Jesus Christ as the people who honor him in the observance of the day which he has blessed and sanctified. Therefore, there is no way in which we can exalt Christ from first to last as Creator, as Redeemer, as Savior, when we knowingly and willfully trample upon the seventh day, the day which he has blessed and sanctified. Now let's briefly look at the subject of behavior. whether sat in the church pews or sat at the table eating Sabbath lunch, we should put away every evil that defiles us. Our conversation should be wholesome. Speak softly. Walk softly. Let not a word of lightness or trifling come from your lips. This is God's day. He has blessed the seventh day as his Sabbath to be sacredly observed. Parents should have control of the activities of their children throughout the Sabbath day. Parents, engage with your children. Don't lead them to be led or entertained by other people or children who have no respect for the Sabbath day. And let them experience the Sabbath to be a delight as God designed it to be. Do not allow reckless neglect of your children. Let them be involved in the preparations for the Sabbath. Let them be involved in the worship to welcome in the Sabbath. And let them be involved in the worship to close the Sabbath. As adults, whether grandparents or parents, whether uncles or aunties, guardians or church leaders, we must learn and know for ourselves everything that God requires of us in our behavior on the Sabbath. We must teach these vital and valuable lessons to our children. We must teach the children that God means exactly just what he says, and he can and will only reward true obedience to him and to his laws. As a church here at Watford Town, we have fallen short of what God requires of us. And as leaders of this church, I apologize to God for allowing this to happen. And by his grace, I, along with the elders, my fellow brothers in leadership, we will endeavor to address these lapses of concentration and attention to detail starting today. If we profess to observe God's holy day, his rest day, there needs to be a Sabbath reform amongst us. Would you agree? When we speak, two or three agree. When we speak our own business on the Sabbath day and we discuss business matters, college, school, university, or work matters on the Sabbath day, God looks upon this in the same light as though you were actually engaged in these activities on his day. Church. Today has been a strong message, and I hope that the Spirit has moved you to make adjustments and changes to how to keep the Sabbath. I'm not your enemy. I'm just a brother who is trying to encourage myself and encourage my fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. Our desire should be to keep the Sabbath God's way. The Faith I Live By, page 100, says, you have been chosen by Christ. You have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Plead before God the efficacy of that blood. Say unto him, I am thine by creation. I am thine by redemption. I respect human authority and the advice of my brethren, but I cannot depend wholly upon these. I want thee, O God, to teach me. I have covenanted with thee to adopt the divine standard of character and to make thee my counselor and guide, a party to every plan of my life. Therefore, Lord, teach me. Let the glory of the Lord be your first consideration. Let every act of your life be sanctified by a holy endeavor to do the Lord's will, that your influence may not lead others into forbidden paths. When I began this sermon, one of the texts that I read was John 14, verse 15, and I want to leave it with you. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Asking him for saving grace. Also victory in the race. And to help us by his power, to keep holy every hour. Church, are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you faithful in all that you do? Have you fought a good fight? Have you stood for the right? Do others see Jesus in you? Are you ready to stand in your place? Are you ready to look in his face? Can you look up and say, "This is my Lord"? Are you ready for Jesus to come? I've finished now. And I just want to say that now that you have heard this message, some of you may be in a dilemma. The Spirit impressing your heart, you may have a dilemma with your work or your job because it might be conflicting with God's way of keeping the Sabbath, and you may think that you cannot afford to obey God. My dear brothers and sisters, the truth of the matter is this: you cannot afford to disobey him. If you are careless in your observance of the Sabbath, you will suffer great loss. Trust him. Have faith in him and let him work everything out for your good. I'm going to invite everyone to stand as we close, and I need you all to listen to these three calls that I'm going to make. And I'm not asking anyone to come forward as I make the call, but I want you to listen to all three. And I'm going to invite you forward. If you fall into any of these categories, it's between you and God, but I'm going to pray for you. And the first call is, you may have failed God in keeping the Sabbath his way, either yourself or by your children, and you want to say sorry and allow him to renew a right spirit in you so that you can satisfy him and begin keeping the Sabbath his way. Number two, you may be inclined to work, to cook, to clean, or to sleep on the Sabbath, and after hearing the message today, you need to make changes so that you can please God. And the third one, you have failed in welcoming in the Sabbath and making the time to close the Sabbath with worship, and you and your family want to do better. If you fall in any one of those three categories, if you want to realign your life, reset, and say to God, "Here I am, Lord, I'm doing my best, but I know there is much more that I need to do," I'm going to ask you to come forward so that I can pray with you right now. If you feel in your heart you need to come forward. Amen. Let us pray. Father, this was a really hard message for me to write. And it was even harder to deliver this message, Lord. But I have done what you have asked me to do, and for that, I say thank you for choosing me. Lord, your word has gone forth, and your people have heard. They've heard your word, and they've heard the joyful sound that Jesus saves. And some have come forward. All have stood, and some have come forward. Lord, it's not my business to know, but you know. And I'm asking you, dear Lord, to visit every individual that has come forward and has had the courage to step out from their seats. I present every single one of them to you right now. Lord, hold them not by the sins that they have committed, but hold them by the promise in your heart that you have for their lives, where you have promised that you who have begun a good work in them, that you're faithful to complete it. So please, Father, complete your work faithfully in the lives of all those who have come forward and even in the lives of those who have not. Lord, we want to please you. We do not want to be found at your wedding feast without the wedding garment. Lord, have mercy on us. Thank you for giving us one more chance, another opportunity to make right the many wrongs in our life. And in your mercy, Lord, you bless us so much every day. You even woke us up this morning and you brought us to this place to hear a word from you. May your word not return to you void, but may it do that which it was intended to do when it left the throne of God. Father, we thank you for the Sabbath day that in your mercy and in your wisdom you created for us to worship you. Help us to understand the implications of keeping the Sabbath holy in the last days. We have to be steadfast. We have to be committed. We have to be willing to give up even life. But Lord, if we break it, if we trample on your day, if we use it and see it as a frivolous day, how will we stand? Lord, strengthen us in the weak areas of our lives. Some may be in a dilemma, Lord, wondering, what will I do now? I have to work. I have to pay my bills. I have to pay my mortgage. I have to pay the rent. Help them to look up and to learn to trust you and know that you have never brought your people to a place where they will be embarrassed. But you have built us with not with a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. May we make the decisions in our heart and trust you to open the doors as we close those ones behind us. Father, I commit my life and the lives of my brothers and my sisters to you right now. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being merciful to us. Thank you for your grace. May we not leave here the same. May we go on our way rejoicing, and may we continue to encourage us in each other in the way of the Lord, so that when you come, when you burst the clouds of heaven, we will not be running from the running to the rocks and crying, "Fall on us." But we will hear you say to us as we look into your beautiful face, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." May that be our experience by your grace and by your power. I pray and ask all these things in and through the precious name of Jesus.